From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. There have been peaceful protests in Cleveland today following a judge's ruling acquitting police officer Michael Brillo in the deaths of two unarmed black motorists. The judge in the case said he could not say for sure that the fatal shots were fired by Brillo. Federal justice investigators are now poised to look at the case. ML Schulze from member station WKSU has details.
The Justice Department says it will assess the testimony and evidence in the month-long trial that ended with the acquittal of police officer Michael Brillo on voluntary manslaughter charges. A Cuyahoga County judge ruled that prosecutors failed to prove that Brillo was unreasonable and that his shots were the ones that actually killed Timothy Russell and Melissa Williams at the end of a massive police chase in November 2012. The Justice Department says the new review is separate from a civil rights investigation released in December that found a pattern of excessive use of force, poor training, and other problems with Cleveland police. For NPR News, I'm ML Schulze in Cleveland.
The United Nations says more than 55,000 people have fled a city in western Iraq that recently fell to so-called Islamic State militants. Susanna George reports thousands of Shia militiamen allied with the government are massing at a base outside the city in advance of a counteroffensive.
Sunnis forced to flee their homes in Anbar speak to a local television channel accusing the government of abandoning them as ISIS stormed the city of Ramadi earlier this week. Most families who fled the fighting are now stuck on the outskirts of the Iraqi capital after the government tightened rules requiring people from Anbar to have a sponsor in order to enter Baghdad. Just outside Ramadi, Shia militiamen are helping Iraqi government troops stop ISIS advances. As recently as Friday, the group was continuing to seize territory along a key road linking Ramadi to the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. For NPR News, I'm Susanna George.
Ireland has become the first country to approve same-sex marriage in a popular national vote. 62% voted yes in Friday's referendum. Dermaid Fleming of UTV in Ireland says the margin was unexpectedly strong.
The result is very surprising, really, in terms of the scale of the yes vote. The polls had predicted that there would be a big margin, but many people felt that the people who might have considered voting no may have been not telling the pollsters of their actual voting intentions. So the scale of the vote, which was roughly about 60-40, is quite surprising.
19 other countries have legalized the practice, as have 37 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. With the Senate tied in knots over efforts to change or extend the National Security Agency's phone record data collection, the NSA has started to pull back on its collection and storage program. The program is scheduled to sunset in a week without further action. This is NPR. Nearly 17 million American drivers are being advised to replace their airbags after the Japanese company Takata acknowledged this week that its products were faulty. But as NPR's Jason Margolis reports, consumers might act casually about the latest recall warning.
With past recalls, one in four vehicle owners haven't bothered to fix the problems. That's according to estimates from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Aaron Bragman with Cars.com says consumers are experiencing recall fatigue.
People are hearing about recalls every day, it seems to be, from an automaker somewhere. It didn't used to be like this. But, you know, recalls mean that a problem has been found and that something has been put in place to try and address it.
The faulty airbags have been linked to 6 deaths and 100 injuries. Consumers can check their VIN numbers at the website safercar.gov to see if their car needs to be fixed. The defective airbags were installed in vehicles in model years between 2002 and 2008. Jason Margolis, NPR News.
A campaign against pollution is being waged tonight in Telluride, Colorado. Light pollution, that is. The Telluride Daily Planet reports the whole town is pitching into an effort to turn off home and business lights so that the public can get a better sense of the starry night sky. An astronomer and a photographer will be out at 3 a.m. local time to guide stargazers and shutterbugs. The town says it will turn off street lights for an hour to contribute to the effort. At Telluride's altitude, city lights from other locations aren't likely to interfere. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News.